Revelation 6 and verse number 17. Let's see if I can get this, find this in here. Revelation 6 and 17. For the great day of his wrath, vengeance, retribution, and indignation has come, and who is able to stand before it? Who is able to stand before it? The great day of wrath has come. In the Old Testament, in Joel, the first chapter, verse 15, in Jeremiah 3 and verse 7, in Joel 2, 1, 11, and 13, and Isaiah 63, 1 through 6, Zephaniah 1 and 14, Luke 21, 20 through 24, and 35 and through 36, Zechariah 14th chapter, verses 1 through 5, and, well, actually 1 through 7, Revelation 16 and 14, Psalm 76 and verse 7, Nahum 1, 6, and Malachi 3 and 2. These are all references to this chapter and this verse. The Bible, we talk about different forms of theology, like Islam. Islam copies a lot from the Bible. Everything in Islam that is good is bad in the Bible. Everything that's bad in Islam is bad, is good in the Bible. It's just completely opposite of one another. But the Bible has a lot of historical references that go back thousands of years. Thousands of years. This here, it, because it has come the great day of wrath belonging to him, and who is able to stand against the Lord. In Psalm 27, or 24, that is, in verse number 10, it says that the God Almighty, King of glory, is the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies. Okay? Revelation, the 19th chapter, Revelation chapter 19, I'll go there and read a little bit about that. Now, and again they shouted, Hallelujah, praise the Lord, the smoke of her burning shall continue to ascend forever and ever through the eternities of eternities. Now, what it's talking about here is, I believe, Islam. Islam, I think, is going to be the Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to come out of Islam. The Antichrist, a lot of people, you know, even when I wrote my doctor's thesis on the book of Revelation, this is the doctor's thesis, I put Rome, the revised Roman Empire. But the revised Roman Empire was not the empire of the book of Revelation. Yes?
Is that guy Shoebop agree with you?
Shoebop?
Does he agree with that? Or he?
Yes, he does. Yeah, Shoebop does. Many Muslims, when they talk about the end time, they read the book of Revelation, they realize they're wrong. There was a man, I cannot remember which missionary it was, he went to Africa. In Africa, you know, Muhammad's bunch went into Africa. They conquered Africa. They conquered everything over there in the Middle East. And by the way, the last empire that ruled Palestine was the Islamic Ottoman Empire. And that dissolved in 1920-something. But in the book of Revelation, it says the deadly wound that was healed, it revived. And in Islam, they have an Antichrist. They have a Mahdi, which actually, this Mahdi is everything that the Antichrist is in the Bible. The Mahdi, according to Islam, is a direct descendant of Muhammad. That will literally, he will be reincarnated in this person. And that he will be 40 years old when they call him out, and he will come out of Syria, and the beast will come out of Arabia, and so also will come their false Jesus, will come out of Arabia. They are unholy trinity in the Bible. You have the false prophet, the beast, and the Antichrist. In Islam, you have the Mahdi, you have the false Isa, and you have the beast. Now, in the Bible, the beast marks all of, and it gives them the mark of the beast, doesn't it? The beast writes on every person the mark of the beast, the brand of the beast. Now, every Islamic person in the world has to say this prescription, this definition of faith. There is no God but Allah. He has no companion, and Muhammad is his messenger. And if you say that three times, then you can become a Muslim. And a Muslim means to submit. Now, according to the Muslim, right now we have ISIS over there fighting. And, of course, they've clipped its wings of ISIS to some extent, but it's never going to stop people. It's not going to stop. It may go down to a lull, but they're looking for the Mahdi. They're looking for the 12th Imam. Have you ever heard of that? That's the Mahdi. And he is the person that is going to be a direct descendant of Muhammad, and he's going to have the spirit of Muhammad in him, and he's going to be a reluctant leader. He will come out of Syria, and they will force him they want to swear allegiance to him. And what is he going to do? First of all, he's going to make a covenant for 7 years. What's the Bible say about the Antichrist?
There's going to be a covenant for 7 years, the 7-year tribulation period.
And one thing he's going to do, he's going to move the Kaaba stone from Mecca to Jerusalem, according to Islamic, what we call eschatology. Is this all new to you?
Matt,
okay.
I got a question.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so the 12th Imam, there's 13 Imams, is that correct?
Well, just, that's different.
Okay,
don't worry about that. Okay. We're talking about the Mahdi. Some people call him the 12th Imam.
Okay.
All right. Some people call him the 12th Imam. But the Mahdi, he's going to come forth, and many people have said that they were Mahdi already, the Mahdi. Anyway, he's going to come up, and the first thing he's going to do, he's going to make a covenant with Israel. What does the Bible say about the Antichrist? He's going to make a covenant with Israel. Okay. And that he's going to allow them to build a temple in Jerusalem. And the temple in Jerusalem, in this temple in Jerusalem, will be a church or a temple of all nations. Okay? They have a church of all nations in Jerusalem, don't they? Upon the Mount of Olives, there's a church of all nations there. They're going to have a temple of all nations, is what they plan on. What?
They have it right now, don't they?
No. The Church of All Nations is there, but they're going to have, the Jews do not have access to Jerusalem. Did you know that?
Yeah, because they're going to be in Pentecost.
What?
They're going to be in Pentecost.
No, we're getting too far ahead.
Okay.
It's too far ahead, Brett.
Okay, sorry.
Okay, they're going to go to Petra. They're going to do that, but not yet. Okay, first of all, they got to make a covenant with the Antichrist. Now, down here we have a little tribulation Mac up here. We've got one up here. But here we have the rapture right here. All the Christians are going to be gone. And the church is going to be gone. Okay? And then, after that, I believe there's going to be a great revival, just like there was a great revival on the outside of that ark when it started raining. Except they didn't get an ark, did they? They stayed outside and they died. That's what Peter talks about. Well, during this first period, this time, this is when Satan is given great powers over the earth for a short time. And he goes out and he empowers. Do you think that that the devil can work miracles?
Yeah.
Do you think the devil can create?
I do.
Yes, absolutely. If you don't believe me, just go. The book of Revelation is going to be a repeat of what happened in Egypt. That tell me when the devil created in Egypt.
Well,
what did he do to create?
I think of the snake, the first thing I think, but it's not.
Well, it wasn't a snake.
It was a dragon.
When Aaron threw his rod down, and this was Moses' rod, he called Aaron a lot later because that's the rod that they use. And a rod is actually a symbol of authority. And they say, now, the book of Jasher says that that rod was Adam's rod. It goes all the way back, and that God gave that rod to Adam. Now, this is legend and history. I wouldn't call it mythology, but they say this. And that's the rod that God held in his hand when he created the heavens and the earth. Okay? A rod is a symbol of authority. A sword is a symbol of authority, isn't it? Well, this rod that Aaron threw down, there were two people there also that are named later in the Bible. They were named in the book of Jasher. And that's Jannes and Jambres. All right? And Jannes and Jambres threw their rods down, and what did they become? First of all, what did Aaron's rod become? Marilyn, what did Aaron's rod become?
A tannin.
That's what it says, tannin. Thank you. Tannin. Remember that, tannin. Now, the word for snake or serpent in the Bible is what?
Nahash.
Okay? Mm-hmm. This did not become a tannin. Now, when Moses threw his rod down up on the mountain for the burning bush, it became a serpent. But when he threw that rod down, when Aaron threw that same rod down in Pharaoh's palace, it became a dragon. Now, this dragon is a very powerful thing. It is a leviathan. Say leviathan.
Leviathan.
A leviathan is a supernatural creature. Okay? A leviathan is the supernatural creatures, and they believed the history, mythology says, that in the seas and in the oceans, there were great leviathans. And these leviathans would stir up storms. There was a great leviathan said to have lived in the Sea of Galilee, in the bottom of the Sea of Galilee, that guarded the gates to Hades or Sheol. That's what mythology says. Now, just be a Jew for a minute and a Gentile Egyptian. Aaron throws his rod down. It becomes a dragon. It becomes a tannin. Now, the word tannin is more. They say sometimes it was a giant crocodile-type creature, except it was fire-breathing. It was a fire-breathing. Tannin means fire-breathing, too. Fire-breathing dragon. Now, is there history of fire-breathing dragons? What society has those fire-breathing dragons?
China.
They always have this great dragon, don't they? And breathing fire and smoke. That's a tannin, people. This goes all over the world. Well, when Aaron threw down his rod, it became a dragon. A giant crocodilian type creature that breathed fire or could blast like like you see in these movies, like the laser type killing. Breathe fire on people, like the fire.
Like a flamethrower.
Yeah, a flamethrower. Well, then when Jannes and Jambres, and we know that from Paul's writings and from the book of Jasher, Paul is quoting Jasher. He believes that. Jannes and Jambres threw their rods down. What did Satan cause them to become?
Snakes, right?
No, dragons.
Oh.
Dragons again. Now we have two against one. Now, in the angelic and spiritual forces, we have two angels. One third of the angels went with Satan, of all the angels. One third of all the spirits went with him, as far as we can find from the scriptures. So there we have two angels of God against one angel of Satan, two spirits of God against one spirit. But there, in that great contest in the floor of that palace in Egypt, we have two against one. We have two of Satan's creations against God's creation. Now, that what happened there with, I mean, it says the snake, the serpent, but that's not what it is. Okay, just forget that. But what did the dragon do? What did God's dragon do to Jannes and Jambres' dragons?
Ate them up.
Two against one, except God's dragon ate Satan's creation. Gone. And then, Aaron reached out and touched that Leviathan, that dragon, and it became a rod again. It became a rod again. Yeah. So we see this powerful demonstration of the power of God. And here in 6th chapter and verse 17 of that, we are saying, because it came about the great day of the wrath of God, and who is able to stand against him? Were the two dragons able to in Egypt? No. Is it going to happen again, people? It's previews of attraction to come. Almost every miracle, plague, happens again in the book of Revelation. And right here, we have in the seventh chapter of the book of Revelation, and verse number 1, we have what I believe is the Islamic armies against God's men. Now, there's going to be great casualties. The Islamic armies are going to cause great casualties. Right now, the Catholic Church, I just did a message on escaping Catholicism, and I talked about the Catholic Church and how that they've killed between 50 and 100 million Christians down through the ages. But Islam has killed 270 million, and they haven't been around as long as Catholicism. Muhammad learned his lesson well from Catholicism and just magnified it, because Satan is working with that group directly. Satan is working with them directly because he's going to use them here. He has allowed them to exist all of these years. I've heard many Christians say that thank God for the Christian crusades. The Christian crusades came right out of hell, people. That's where they came from. They didn't come from God. They weren't Christian at all. All they were doing is killing people.
And taking their money.
Yeah, robbing, booting, looting. Robbing and looting. That's what they did. They robbed and looted. And Islam robbed and looted. But where did Islam get the idea of the church-state situation? Where did it come from?
From the Catholic Church.
From the Catholic Church. I keep wanting to point to my chart up here, which I have a big chart now. I should have it up here today. But that chart of church history, and in 325 A.D., Constantine married the church to the state. Luther and Calvin had that same idea. It took a lot of Baptist influence to wash that out of the Protestant Reformation. And still it's not washed out. Yeah, there will be a church state. There has been a church state in Israel where God ruled directly of the theocracy right over them. Yeah. And during the millennial reign, there will be a church state, and Israel will be the administrators of God's kingdom, not the church. This is Israel, not the church. And of course, if you believe in replacement theology, you'll think it is the church bringing in the millennial reign, but it is not the church bringing in the millennial reign, and we're going to talk about that right now. Now, Islam has been turned loose on the world with the power of Satan. He's going to do lying wonders of all sorts in the skies and on the earth. There's going to be all kinds of miracles. Can Satan do miracles? Yes. Has Satan done miracles? Yes. The book of Revelation is full of that. If you go back in the Bible, in Psalm, in the book of Psalms, it tells us that Jehovah of the Old Testament, Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of armies, the King of glory, is the Lord of hosts also. Jehovah Almighty in Psalm 24 and verse number 10. It said, "And who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth. He is the King of glory. He is also not only Jehovah Sabaoth, but he is all the Jehovah titles in one." And who fulfilled all those Jehovah titles? Jesus Christ did. He is the Lord our shepherd. In Luke, the 21st chapter, and verse number 20, it says, "And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation is near." And that is in the middle of the tribulation period, people. That's where we are right now in the book of Revelation. Now, let's go back and forth. The seventh chapter is a parenthetical chapter. What is a parenthetical chapter? What does parenthetical mean? It comes from the word parenthesis. It just takes something out and says this. You're talking, and then you say, "Well, this is parenthetical." You go on to another subject. And that's what we have here in the Revelation, the seventh chapter. We have a subject that takes place later. Okay? It is just, you'll be thinking about something, and, well, parenthetically, you'll say this. And you'll just comment on something.
So it's kind of like, "Oh, and by the way."
Yeah, and "Oh, and by the way." Yeah, that's it. "Oh, and by the way, and when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that it is desolation is near. Then let them who are in Judea flee to the mountains." Here you are, Brett.
Finally,
okay. This is in the middle of the tribulation period. We weren't there yet a while ago, okay? "And let them who are in the midst of it depart, and let not them that are on the countries enter into it. For these are the days of vengeance." Revelation 6 and verse 17. "These are the days of vengeance. Woe unto them who are with child, and to them that nurse children in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people." Wrath upon what people? Which people are we talking about?
The ones who are still here?
The ones who are still here, which is Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And the Gentiles. Israel and the Gentiles. How many Jews are going to be killed?
5 out of 6?
No.
2 out of 3?
2 out of 3 Jews are going to be killed. And 5 out of 6 Gentiles. In other words, the world is going to be depopulated in it. And then it tells us how many Jews are saved. "Wrath upon this people, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and they shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." Now, boy, what is God doing here? Why is he allowing the Islamic Empire to come against the city of Jerusalem, and after they've made this contract with the devil? You know, they've made this contract with the devil. How come God is allowing this?
Because he's got to rein him in so he can have his prophecy in Israel. So he can show
the unpreventable and eternal purpose of God shall not be in any way thwarted.
Yeah.
Israel, according to the Davidic and the Abrahamic covenant, will rule on this earth. Now, since they're so adamant against Jesus Christ, which is Jehovah, the Old Testament, what is God going to have to do to them?
He's going to have to let 2 out of 3 of them be killed. And they're going to have to see 5 out of 6 Gentiles be killed. And they're going to have to see someone stand up here in the middle of this tribulation period, like it said in Luke, the 21st chapter, the desolation will take place. The desolation, what is the desolation?
The abomination, desolation. What is it?
Brother Ron, do you know? What is the abomination, desolation?
The Antichrist?
The Antichrist is going to stand in the temple in Jerusalem and tell them to worship him. Demand it.
Demand that the whole world submits to him.
Islam. Islam means to what? Submit. He's going to demand that they submit to him. and say, now the mark of the beast is, I believe, I heard it to 666, by the way, in some of the oldest Revelation manuscripts, it doesn't say 666. Did you know that?
Yeah, it says man.
No, it says
661. 661,
that's right. Yeah, that's
right. Oh, damn.
We really are in hell, huh?
661. That's what it says. And there, in that, okay. I always thought it said 666, man, but they found out in some of the oldest manuscripts it's 661.
That's
not the address of the Antichrist in Jerusalem, you know. But that doesn't matter. Even though if you ask anybody on the street, you go out there and somebody, non-believer, and they will tell you, what's the number of the Antichrist? It's 666. You see people with 666 tattooed on them, don't you? Haven't you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I worship Satan. Yeah, they will tattoo anything on themselves. There's tattoos all over everybody. I don't understand that. That's prison culture. Why are they imitating prison culture? Oh, demonic. You see it. You see it in churches. You see it all over the place.
Verse number one now.
The book of James 5 and verse 4 talks about Jehovah Sabaoth and El Shaddai, the all-powerful God. Again, Romans the 9th chapter, verses 27 through 29. We might look at that, Romans 9 and 27 through 29. If I can find that. Isaiah also cries out concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. Only part of them. What does it say? Even though they be as and what does the sands of the sea mean? First of all, these were not children of God. They're the sea, the sands of the sea are the physical seed of Abraham. The stars of heaven are the spiritual seed of Abraham. He said, even though their children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, it is a remnant that shall be saved. A remnant. Only part shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth, Jehovah the Lord of armies, has left us a seed, we have been as Sodom and been like Gomorrah. In other words, where is Israel going to be saved when this man of sin stands up in Jerusalem and said, I am God, worship me. There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet, and worship him. Now, every Muslim, when they come to the name of Muhammad and they mention him as the apostle of God, they say, praise be upon him. Praise be upon him. Did you know that? Every time they mention his name, they say, praise be upon him. Praise be upon him.
Sounds a lot like Catholicism.
Yes. They borrow this. They borrow all this. It is an eclectic borrowed religion. But what it really means in Arabic, it means Jehovah prays to him. You understand that? That Jehovah prays to Muhammad. In Islamic culture, on the night vision, Muhammad went to, in a spiritual force, because his wife was laying in bed with him and he didn't go anyplace. He was over there in Mecca, and he said his body visited Jerusalem. The farthest mosque is what it said. He went to the mosque in Jerusalem, and there was he rode there on an animal that had the head of a person and the body of a mule, and this thing that he rode on is described also in the book of Isaiah, and Ezekiel, and all of that is talking about Satan. So maybe many what we call converted Muslims say that Satan was actually the vehicle of Muhammad's travel from Mecca to Jerusalem. And anyone up in the seven heavens, how many heavens are there?
Three.
But he invented seven heavens and that many earths and whatever. He liked that number a lot. And Christian culture, our Christian dummy culture, we have another problem right now today. People believe in a flat earth. Yeah, I saw that jar, yeah. That comes right out of Islam. He said there was six flat earths and one egg-shaped one, except they put that in later because Islam, Muhammad believed in six flat earths. And the sky was held up with pillars so it would fall on the earth. Very primitive thinking. But here we have people again thinking that the Bible teaches that the Bible is flat. It is not flat. Not flat. The Catholic Church said it was. Then they persecuted Galileo.
They believe that
you know, all of the satellites in the heaven and everything aren't really there, that they really aren't there. That all the going to the moon and looking down on the earth. Now, how many of you have been in airplanes?
You can see that.
Okay. Have you been up pretty high? When we took off from Jerusalem, we were in a special jet, an LLI Airlines jet, and it flew real high because, you know, somebody's always shooting at Israel, don't they? And if something says LL on it, they're always going to shoot at it, okay? Well, anyway, we took off out of Tel Aviv, and this is 1976, and we kept flying up and up and up and up, and the windows started icing over. And they said, they dropped the oxygen mask. They said, put the oxygen mask on. We just kept going up and up and up. Now, I don't know how high we flew, but I can just tell you something. I could see the curvature of the earth. I could see the earth was round.
Well, the Navy will tell you, they have the crow's nest. The reason they have the crow's nest, if it was flat, they don't have to be up 6-7 feet. They're up 21 feet because they can see three times as far as the seven.
Yes, because of the...
So they can see the
curvature of the earth. The reason why you can't see very far because it goes over the horizon. The earth is round. But anyway, I saw the earth as it was. They say we were 75,000 feet high. They were going to shoot us down. So they flew up. We went up and up and up and up and up and up. Over the Mediterranean Sea, we landed in Rome, Italy. We just kept going up and then we went down. And your ears were popping. The cabin was pressurized and all of that. But I don't know how high we actually went.
Did you shoot the plane down you were on?
What?
Did you try to shoot the plane down?
That's what they said.
That's the reason
the captain says we're going up higher than what normal is. We're going 75,000 feet.
Well,
you could hear, you could feel them pressurizing the cabin, mm-hmm. And then we had oxygen. And the windows just iced up. Oh, that was spooky. I'm going to tell you this right now. But I did see out there, and you could see it was a different world. I could see Mount Ararat over there. I mean, you're up so high, you can see a long way now. A long, long way. Well, anyway, the earth is not flat. Muhammad is wrong, and the new Christian idea of a flat earth is not valid. They say the trip to the moon was a propaganda machine, that the satellites are all propaganda because there aren't any satellites up there. They're doing all this stuff. But, you know, I have talked to the space, you know, space thing up there, space station? Mm-hmm. There were five ham operators at one time. I talked to all five of them as they were going over on 14652 simplex on 2 meters. They could do that. I have gone up to the satellite. When the satellite, I see the satellite coming, you hit the satellite with 10 meters or 40 meters and come down on 2 meters or whatever. You change up there. These are communication satellites. They really are there.
Yeah, they fall back to Earth once in a while.
When I was in Fish Lake Valley, and back in the 80s, I guess, I was out there in my radio room, and all of a sudden, it was at nighttime, and the sky just lit up. And it sounded like a great big freight train, 100 freight trains coming over. I said, what in the world is going on here? It was space junk. It flew over, it went over the top, it went over Bishop, it went over the Sierras, it went over the White Mountain, which is 14,000 plus feet, and went out there and crashed someplace in Arizona, out in the desert.
Big ball of fire?
It was just like white light up there. That was space junk coming down, somebody's old satellite or something. Let's go on a little bit further. And then it says, after this, I saw four angels having stood upon the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, in order that not it might have wind upon the earth, neither upon the sea, neither upon any tree. No wind. Dead calm. Dead calm. Dead palm. Have you ever had such tremendous silence that it scared you? Have you ever been someplace where it was so quiet it scared you?
That what?
That it was so quiet it scared you.
Yeah.
Dire.
Yeah. I don't know about
Fish Lake Valley.
It was so dark that it scared me.
It will be dark. And it will be quiet. You can hear your heart beat in your ears.
I've never seen dark like that dark.
Never ever.
You came up there and visited me out there in that little old place on Wright Road and scared them to death. My son, Gary, came up and when I lived behind the post office there, behind the boonies. I think I showed you where I lived over there. Over there behind the boonies. I lived there for 20 years. Gary came up there with me. He spent a lot of time with me. And he said, and he took his little old rifle, little Winchester rifle, and took off up the creek. And he said, I'm going to go for a walk, Dad. I said, okay. I was doing something, working, doing something. Anyway, he went up there, and he came back about an hour and a half later. And he was scared. He was scared. Scared. He was just, his heart was racing, and he was scared. Oh, he said, I'm scared, Dad. I'm scared. It's so quiet up there, it scared me. He said, I went up there, you couldn't hear anything. Everything was just, I heard my heart beating. I heard it going through my veins. I heard it going through my ears. He said, it scared me. There was no wind. There was no nothing. It was just scary, Dad, scary. I said, yeah. Revelation 7, verse 1. Scary, dead calm. It gets people's attention. That dead calm is going to get the whole world's attention. Now, the winds are what circulate. Can you imagine San Joaquin Valley without winds?
No.
Ooh.
We'd be cutting our way.
Yeah, you'd be cutting your way through smog. This place is horrible. You come out here last night, the night before, you walk outside, ooh, just knock you down with ammonia and methane gas.
From the dairy?
Oh, it's horrible. If there wasn't any wind here, you would die.
Yeah.
Well, in the book of Revelation, it says there's not going to be any wind in the San Joaquin Valley or any place else. No place else. Those Santa Ana winds are a real blessing sometime, coming up there blowing all that smog out, but no wind here. No wind. Let's have a prayer. Our Father, we send this message out, and I pray, Father, that if there's one lost out there, that they will get themselves together, because this is coming upon the earth. I don't want to see anybody go through this, but there's going to be 5/6 of the world killed during this time. And in that great calm that you send, Father, it is going to be fear and silence. Thank you for all the blessings you give us. Thank you for the people that are here today in this message.